Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church, and today we're taking a little bit of a detour from the current topics of cosmic impacts and even from herbs and nutrition to talk about gold, which is real money, or as I call it, God's money versus currency, printed currency, which is shadow money. And apologies if my voice is shaky. I'm riding in a bumpy truck as I record this, but you know, the Word of God can be taught anywhere. On the road is included in that. So this is the day I've got to bring you this. And you know what compelled me to bring you this message? I've been planning on this for a while, but what compelled me today was the fact that gold has reached a new record high of $2,680. That's the highest it's ever been in dollars since, you know, the beginning of the dollar. And gold is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. It is prolifically mentioned in the Old Testament, but also the New Testament, and it's mentioned in two contexts. And understanding these two contexts is critical to having a right relationship with gold. And when I say relationship with gold, well, you'll understand what I mean by that. It's critical to recognize the value of gold as God did, and as Jesus did, and as ancient people did, but it's also critical to recognize that it is a sin to worship gold, especially gold fashioned into idols and statues, that is like a golden fake god, or even worse, a golden statue of yourself, Nebuchadnezzar, for example. So don't worship gold as a god, because it is not a god. It is not the god. Gold is a creation of God. Now let's back up. As you know, God created the entire universe. God created all the matter that is. God created all the energy that is. He created all the galaxies. We've talked about this quite a bit. He created the table of elements, which is based on the rules of atomic physics that God also himself created. So the reason gold is because of the atomic structure, the number of protons, neutrons, and electrons in a specific orbital shell layer structure. Not that there are really electrons. We're talking about probabilistic orbital shells, you know, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle and all of that. But it all came from the mind of God. So God created the rules of physics that gave rise to gold and silver and all the other elements as well. And these elements are essentially immutable unless you engage in nuclear fusion or fission, which does happen in exploding stars or during nuclear detonation type of events. But it's not accessible to the ordinary person. Obviously, you don't have probably a fusion reactor in your basement. You don't have a fission machine. You don't have a super collider, you know, in your house. So you're not going to be able to alter the atomic elements, which means gold stays gold. Even if you try to set fire to it, it doesn't burn, it just melts. You can turn solid gold into liquid gold, but you can't turn gold into something else. And also, as the ancient alchemists tried and learned and failed over and over again, you can't turn lead into gold, it turns out. Otherwise, gold would have no value because there would be so much of it. So the scarcity of gold, obviously, and its properties, it has industrial properties, it conducts electricity very well, it is chemically resistant. It's very difficult to dissolve gold or to oxidize gold, you know. Whereas silver is much easier to oxidize. You just leave silver out and it begins to tarnish. That's oxidation. Gold does not do that. The only way to oxidize gold really is you have to pour nitric acid and hydrochloric acid onto it, which is what we did in our laboratory, by the way, when we were dissolving gold backs and we were testing the gold content. And whenever I look at gold content or gold purity, I have to dissolve it in hydrochloric and nitric acid and then run it through the ICP-MS mass spec instrument. But other than that, you can't get rid of gold. So it is here to stay. And this explains why gold has survived the rise and fall of hundreds of civilizations and currencies. And this is why I call gold and also silver God's money. Whereas the dollar, the euro, the yen, every currency you can name, they're all created by mankind. As such, they are synthetic, and they are shadow money. Shadow money, that's the term that you will hear me use. Just like I've said that fake processed food created by man is shadow food. Whereas real food that we often talk about here is food that comes from Mother Nature, which is an expression of God. Real food contains real natural medicine. We've talked about the grapes, the vines, resveratrol, proanthocyanidins, anthocyanins. We've talked about sulforaphane. We've talked about the antibacterial compounds in garlic, the natural medicine found in figs, and many other foods and herbs, black cumin seed, and so on, pomegranates. We've covered that, and we will cover a lot more here in these sermons, by the way. We'll get back to foods here shortly. Nevertheless, people take a lot of interest in gold right now because the dollar, shadow money, is collapsing. People are discovering that their dollars are worth less and less each day because they're having to pay more and more of those dollars to purchase food. Food prices have doubled or tripled since 2019. Insurance prices have skyrocketed. You know the drill. If you're buying home insurance, business insurance, health insurance, car insurance, many of those policies have doubled or tripled. And that's because the dollar is collapsing. And the price of consumer goods continues to climb and so on. Anyway, shadow money is collapsing. You know this. So gold and silver, as God's money, they tend to hold value over time. In fact, gold is up more than 30% this year, by the way, in terms of dollars. Does that mean gold is getting more valuable? Not exactly. It means dollars are getting less valuable. So God's money is holding value, while mankind's shadow money is losing value. For this reason, it is in alignment with biblical principles to convert your dollars to gold. And some people call this stacking gold or stockpiling gold or just investing in gold or buying gold. This is one of the smartest things that you can do, in my opinion, although as a disclaimer, I'm not your financial advisor and I'm not encouraging speculation in gold. I'm saying that the risk is keeping your assets in shadow money. Shadow money will go to zero eventually, whereas God's money will tend to hold value over time, if not even potentially increase in value. So converting dollars to gold is a God thing. It's getting out of Satan's monetary system, shadow money, and it's moving into God's monetary system. And the way to do that is to trade dollars for gold. In other words, buy gold with dollars and then hold the gold. Now, it's wise to do that. It is biblical to do that. And throughout the Bible, remember I said there are over 400 mentions of gold in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, we see gold referred to primarily as something of value. Even the three wise men, the Magi, brought, what were the gifts? Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Now, we've covered myrrh and frankincense here in these sermons, by the way, both of which are resins that were used as part of incense burning in order to purify the soul so that people could appear before God and be worthy of God's presence. So why is gold included in that? Because gold is a representation of God's value in the monetary system. The global economic system, when it is an expression of God and God's blessings, God's creation, God's laws, which includes the laws of physics, which includes atomic physics, gold is the best representation of the value of God's economy. That's why it was included. Now, frankincense, you may recall, incense, which is part of the word frankincense, incense means light, or incendiary is kind of the same word root. And frank means free, or in some interpretations, truth, you know, freedom and truth. And then incense is of the light. So freedom and light, or truth and light, are frankincense, which is one of the key ingredients of the four ingredients that had to be blended into the incense that God required people to burn for spiritual purity before they entered the tabernacle. So that's what frankincense is all about. And then myrrh is a resin that was traditionally used by the Egyptians for the preservation of the dead in order to try to even preserve their souls for their journey in, you know, in Egyptian lore and mythology. But then myrrh was also brought to what was thought to be, you know, the laying, the resting place of the body of Jesus after his crucifixion. Myrrh was brought, and then it was discovered, of course, that Jesus had arisen, and the myrrh was no longer necessary because, well, you know, he had transcended the physical. But anyway, gold and myrrh and frankincense were the three gifts, and these are all indications of the importance of these messages: truth, light, freedom, economic freedom also in the form of gold, and then the preservation or the purity of the soul. That's what these gifts represent. Now, obviously, in our society today, which is rooted in Satanism and wickedness and also greed and pompousness and all these things, worshiping gold is a sin. Worshiping money is a sin. So when I say your relationship with gold, if you love that gold is shiny and beautiful and you recognize the historic place of gold, that's perfectly fine. That's awesome. That's just being a fan of gold and recognizing that gold is God's money. We can all be happy about gold, and we can be happy about having more gold. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you pursue gold and worship gold in place of God, then you have a problem. And that's the other mention of gold in the Bible, is when men turn to greed and sin. Exodus chapter 32, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin, and they have made for themselves a god of gold." See? So if you make a statue of gold, if you make and worship false idols out of gold or silver or wood, as is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, then you've got a problem. You're worshiping the wrong things. Your focus is incorrect. And by the way, keep in mind that if the book of Revelation is indeed accurate, God destroys all of human civilization ultimately in the end, and nobody takes the gold with them. So the real treasure, or the real inheritance, as it is said, the real gold is what you earn with God. God's grace upon you that you have earned, a spiritual meritocracy. In other words, God will reward you for eternity for serving him in this world. And none of us survive this world forever. You know, we don't have eternal life in the 3D space. We have eternal life after the 3D space. This is a simulation. In the simulation, we have gold. Gold is physical matter that is part of the simulation. It's an expression of the laws of physics in this simulation. So gold serves a purpose in this simulation. After the simulation, gold serves no purpose because you can't take it with you. So to have the right relationship with gold is to say, how can gold help me continue to carry out the mission that God wants me to pursue? How can gold help you bring more people to Christ, for example? Or how can gold help you stay alive for your intended life purpose here? How can gold help you help others and perhaps bring them to Christ? This is the key question, or the key relationship with gold. So let's say if you are expecting an economic collapse and you don't want to end up starving to death, and you want to help as many people as possible, you want to keep your family safe and alive, gold can serve a purpose, because as the dollar collapses, the shadow money system, gold can allow you to get food or to buy protection or to buy emergency medical supplies. You can trade gold and silver for almost anything in the right economic circumstances. So the purpose of gold is to help you carry out your mission in alignment with God on this planet during this simulation, as you live out whatever years that you've been blessed with in this simulation. That's the only purpose of gold. That's why you don't worship gold. You worship God, but you allow gold to help you serve God. Does that make sense? So someone who says, oh, I love gold. I love gold. I love to have more gold. I'm like, amen, brother. And then if they continue, I love gold because, all right, now I'm listening. I'm listening. What is their because? What are they going to say? In their mind, what, or in their heart, what's their reason for having more gold? Well, if they say, I need more gold in order to stay economically viable so that I can continue to carry out the mission that God put upon me on this planet, to stay alive, to red pill others, to help feed people who are in need, to help bring emergency medicine, to help uplift people, to help defend liberty, to do these things. And I'm like, yes, amen, now you get it. That's the purpose of gold. But if somebody says, I like gold because, and then they say something like, I like to roll around in it in my bed sheets, you know, I just want to be covered with gold everywhere. Then, of course, I have a big question. Like, your relationship with gold seems a little perverted, actually. You know, you think of gold as kind of monetary pornography or something. That's a very unhealthy relationship with gold. You are worshiping gold for the wrong reasons. Or some people say, I want to have gold so I can flash it and show it off to other people. I want to show people how wealthy I am. I want to have gold in my teeth. I want to have, by the way, I have gold in my teeth, but not my front teeth. I took out all the mercury in my mouth years ago and I replaced it with gold fillings. So I have gold, but not for show. You wouldn't even know it if I didn't tell you. Can you imagine me with a giant golden front tooth, you know, doing podcasts? like a rap star or something. But some people want to flash gold to impress others. That, again, is the wrong use of gold. That is gold for arrogance. That is gold for pompousness. That is gold for social standing. And that is not the purpose of gold. So your relationship with gold demonstrates your spirit. See? And people can see it. If you're collecting gold and flashing it around, I mean, number one, you're probably going to get robbed when the collapse comes, so that's not a good idea. If your purpose of gold is to just be selfish and not to help anybody else, you're not going to get very far. But if you collect a lot of gold and you keep it, you know, concealed, you're not bragging about it, but you're stockpiling it because it's God's money, and then your behavior with that gold is in alignment with God, then God smiles upon you, and now you understand. Now you have the right relationship with gold and with God. Gold was incredibly valued, and there were very large amounts of gold mentioned in the Bible. In fact, if you go to 1 Kings, it says that King Solomon's wealth was so great that each year, the weight of gold that came to Solomon, this is 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14, was 666 talents of gold. Now, that's odd to see that number there, 666, in terms of how much gold came to King Solomon. So if we do the math on that, that's 1,000,000 ounces of gold that came to King Solomon each year. 1,000,000 ounces of gold, a little over 1,000,000. The present day value of 1,000,000 ounces of gold, if you value them at just $2,500 an ounce, which right now gold is more like, you know, an ounce of gold is worth $2,700, $2,800, even more. But let's just call it $2,500. Well, 1,000,000 ounces of gold is worth over $2.6 billion. Well, and that's including the 1,065,600 ounces of gold that come out of the original there. Anyway, we could round it down to 2.5 billion. That's fine. That means King Solomon was able to acquire $2.5 billion worth of gold every year. That's a lot of gold. It even says in 1 Kings, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. Now, I guess if you had 1,000,000 ounces of gold sitting around, you could make anything you want out of gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield, it says. And then he also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. And all of King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver. For this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. And it even goes on, for the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes and monkeys, too. I don't know what they're doing with the apes and monkeys, but the gold and silver, ivory, you know, these were all valued in that day. But there's a problem, of course, with accumulating so much physical wealth if you turn against God, as King Solomon himself found out. But it's interesting, they also made a golden calf, you know, like a calf statue out of gold, or two of them. And the golden calf or a golden bull was also featured in the recent Satanic Olympics. The opening ceremony of the Olympics, which mocked Jesus and mocked the Last Supper and had a transgenderism demon replacing Jesus. Yeah, they had a golden calf or a golden bull there as well. You know, all the symbolism of evil is what the Olympics have become. Now, King Solomon was able to acquire over 1 million ounces of gold a year. Obviously, these days, acquiring 1 million ounces of gold is beyond the reach of most individuals, perhaps not beyond the reach of some nations like China or Saudi Arabia or Russia, maybe the U.S., but I think the gold vaults are mostly empty. But here's something that's interesting to note. It was said to me recently by gold expert Andy Scheckman that throughout history, it has been known that if a family had 1,000 ounces of gold, that family was considered to be well off financially, and that they had achieved some level of transgenerational wealth. Now, right now, today, 1,000 ounces of gold would be worth, what, $2.7 million or $2.8 million? Something like that. Is that enough to live on? Yes. Is it enough for, you know, for your children to inherit? Certainly. Is it enough to live forever? Probably not. Not with, you know, all the rising costs of everything. But if you are looking into transgenerational wealth, dollars are the wrong vehicle. Currency is the wrong vehicle. Shadow money is the wrong vehicle. If you want to leave something to your kids or grandkids or family members or to an institution, a nonprofit that you support, a church that you support, wherever you want wealth to last, the thing to give is gold. Because gold holds value from generation to generation. So if you are able to, if you're wealthy enough, strive to acquire 1,000 ounces of gold. And you will have established a milestone of some level of transgenerational wealth. If you don't have that much wealth, if you don't have a few million dollars, aim for 100 ounces of gold or 10, or start with 1. If you don't own any gold, start with 1. And then work your way to 10. Because this is what will outlast the collapse of the satanic beast system. The dollar is the beast system, or part of the beast system. Shadow money, debt, fear, weaponization by government, centralized control over money. And if you want to be free, and if you want to achieve true financial independence, I believe the method to get there is through God's money, gold and silver. That way, you can keep what you've earned if you convert it into gold and silver. And since you have it in your possession, it is very, very difficult for evil governments to take it from you. Although there have been governments in the past that carried out gold confiscation, you know, legally on paper, think about how difficult it is for a government to run around the country with shovels or whatever and and try to dig up people's gold, even to find it, versus shadow money in a bank account tied to your social security number. Governments can take that from you electronically. They can steal from you sitting behind a desk. They can just declare, oh, your money is now ours because we say you owe us. You know, get a threatening letter from the IRS. Oh, you owe us everything. And then we're just going to freeze your bank account. And you're like, what? No, you can't. And they say, already did. We already did. We stole it electronically because they can do that. Whereas if you have your wealth in gold, well, then now they have to send out a team with metal detectors. And now it's work. You know, it's effort for them. And they don't have the bandwidth to do that to everybody, especially if your gold is well hidden from thieves or confiscators or whoever else. So if you do own any substantial amount of gold, make sure that you expend some effort to hide it well. Make sure that thieves can't get it. Make sure that confiscators can't get it. Make sure that you can get it when you want to get to it without too much trouble, but don't make it easy for anybody else to get it. Just in case, if you're away, you know, you don't want anybody robbing your place, obviously. There might be civil unrest. There might be a lot of looting that goes on. You want to make gold hard to find. And then finally, from a spiritual perspective, please remember that God can and will take away all of your financial wealth if you turn against him. You may think that you're hot stuff for accumulating 1,000 ounces of gold. Yeah? It's easy for powerful or successful people to get a big ego and to think, you know, it's mine, it's all mine, I did this. You know, that kind of attitude, which of course is very common among human beings. And then often they would tend to turn wicked and they would start going to the crazy, you know, Hollywood orgy parties and doing drugs and mass fornicating and rolling around with naked prostitutes and whatever all these people do, is snorting this, injecting that. Yeah, guess what? God will cause your wealth to vanish so fast that you'll be shocked. If you turn from God, God will take away his blessings. That message is crystal clear throughout the Bible, because you have only achieved blessings by the grace of God. Yes, I get it. You've put in effort. You've worked. Yes, you've expended time and energy in order to accumulate financial wealth. But you were only able to do that because God gave you the gift of life, because God gave you the gift of consciousness, because God gave you the gift of being in a world, living in this time when the world is filled with God's gifts, which include foods, natural medicines, herbs, and gold. And that's why gold is, my rooster's crowing in the background, if you can hear him. But that's why gold is mentioned in the Bible along with, you know, myrrh and frankincense of the three wise men. That's why gold is mentioned among the assets that God provides humanity. So honor the gifts that God gives you. Consider these gifts to be sacred. And do your part to maintain your obedience to God. And then he shall grant you with more resources, because you are you're proving to be a good steward of those resources. If you flitter away the gold and you trade the gold for cocaine to have snort parties or whatever, God's not going to consider you to be a good steward of more wealth. But if you use that gold to carry out the mission that God put you here to pursue, then you're a good steward, and you will be blessed with more resources, more, quote, riches. Not that that's your goal, not that you should hold on to massive riches, but rather to be a conduit to help others or to prepare for big events that may wipe out the finances or the food resources of a lot of people. Think about the ways that you can help society. How does stacking gold help you prepare your community for the difficult times that are coming? There may be a day where you are called upon to use your gold to achieve some important good in your society. Maybe you need to trade gold for a truckload of food. You should be willing to do that. If a truckload of food can feed, you know, 500 people or whatever, and the price for that is, you know, 10 ounces of gold, and you have the gold, do you have enough spiritual maturity to make that decision to give up the gold to feed 500 people or whatever the ratio is? That's where the test comes. And trust me, that test is coming. And that's where the gold gets converted into spiritual currency with God. Remember, you can't take gold with you, but you do take your spiritual reputation with you. That's what counts. That's your inheritance. That's God's currency. So here it is. In summary, today, right now, in this 3D simulation we call our world, our life, you can trade dollars for gold, shadow money for God's money. And then you will be given opportunities because of the difficult situations that we are all about to experience, opportunities to trade gold for God's currency by doing good for the people around you, doing good in your community through this asset that you have accumulated known as gold or silver. When that day comes, I pray that you make the right spiritual decision. Put God first. Obedience to God comes first. Use gold to help you achieve what God wants you to do. And then you get the best of both worlds. So thank you for listening. That's my sermon for today. You can find more sermons at abundance.church, and we will continue with more sermons about herbs and foods and natural medicine. And also, we're not yet done with the book of Revelation, so there's more fascinating comet impact news to come out of the book of Revelation and other fascinating things. So stay tuned, folks. A lot more to come. God bless you. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.